Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, everywhere the word is taught, things happen. I'm going to say that again. Everywhere the word is taught, things happen. Things for your benefit. God opens up the windows of heaven and pours things out on us. So stay hooked up, stay connected with the Spirit of God. Because there's three parts to a message. There is the word, the messenger, and those that hear the message. And we all have a part to play. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 5. Last week we began talking about activating God's power in your life. How many could use the power of God to be active or activated in your life? All right? You know, you are equipped to be a vessel of God's power. And he's given you a switch to activate that power, and that's called faith. And we're going to get into that tonight. So we're going to look at ways that we can activate our faith. You know, your faith is a catalyst to miracles. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he tells us, he said, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." Say, add to my faith. Did you know that there are things that you can add to your faith that will help it become more effective? It will produce quicker results. It'll operate better. What happens if you don't ever put oil in your car? You know, eventually your engine's going to say, "Hey, I'm not going anywhere." You know, what happens if you never eat food? You know, you're going to weaken. And eventually you could die of starvation if you never eat. So you've got to put something on the inside in order for you to do what you need to do. So what can we add to our faith to make it more a catalyst to benefit from God's power? So we're supposed to give all diligence, right? And we're supposed to add to our faith virtue or moral excellence. You know, we're to live righteously, right? So we got to add to our faith virtue. And then we add to our virtue knowledge. How many know that God wants you to increase in knowledge? He wants you not only to increase in knowledge, but to increase in wisdom and understanding. You know, it's not just about knowing, but it's about understanding. I can know how to operate a vehicle, but then I can get into an airplane and I'd be in trouble. Because even though I can drive a car, I've never flown an airplane because I don't have understanding about how it operates. So along with knowledge, you need understanding and wisdom. Then we're going to add temperance or self-control. Say, control myself. You are responsible to control yourself. And then to our temperance, we're going to add patience. You know, the Bible says through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Say, I'm patient. Why? Because impatient will hinder your faith. A lack of knowledge will hinder your faith. Not being virtuous will hinder your faith. It will, you know, it's like making a cake without yeast or missing a key ingredient of that cake. The flavor is not going to be right. It's not going to come out right. You're not going to get the desired results if these ingredients are missing. Okay? And to patience, we're to add godliness. Say, to be like God. Is it possible to be like God? He just said in verse 3 that we are partakers of his divine nature. If it wasn't possible to partake of his divine nature, then we couldn't be like God. But, and he said that all of his word, he gives us to everything we need for life and godliness. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, bodily exercise profits a little. But he said, godliness is profitable in all things. Say all things. But I thought good guys finish last. No, that's a myth of the world. Jesus was a good guy. He was the best of the good guys. And he finished first. Amen? So we're to add godliness. And then we're to add brotherly kindness. How would we know if we are Christians if we never have opportunities to show kindness to our brothers, our sisters in Christ? You know, we're part of a large family, both in heaven and in earth. We're part of a family. We've got family members all over the world. We've got family members in China, in Europe, in Africa, in Antarctica, North and South America. We're part of a big family. Amen? And, you know, Paul told Timothy, he said, desire to do good, especially to those in the household of faith. Say, I love my brother. I love my sister. We always get along. I pass up marvelous opportunities not to get along with my brother and sister. And to brotherly kindness, charity, or love. Faith works by love, doesn't it? If you don't have love, if you got a love problem, your faith is going to be weak. It's not going to be able to handle big challenges. All right? Now notice what he goes on to say here. For if these things be in you. Now if he'd have just stopped there, okay, I got them in me. But then he carried on. And abound. Say abound. Does that mean to make more of what there are? Oh, it's not just good enough to have it in you. It's got to be, you got to fertilize it. You got to be growing. You got to have a greenhouse on the inside of you. Amen? You got to continually to grow things and to develop things and to cultivate things. Ooh, that sounds like a lot of work. Don't worry. God gives you grace. He gives you the power and the ability to do it. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never not produce. You'll never not add to your talents. You'll neither be unfruitful or barren in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you're not unfruitful or barren in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, he could put you in the middle of the desert and you'll prosper. He brought 2 to 3 million Jews out of Egypt. For 40 years, their clothes did not wear out. But you know what? That wasn't their ultimate place. They prospered. I mean, in the wilderness, they had their needs met. But God wanted to take them to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. You might feel like you're in the wilderness. Things are rough, but good news. God will give you meat. God will give you water from a rock. He'll not make your clothes wear out. He'll give you a cloud by day and a fire by night to lead and guide you. He'll not forsake you. But the wilderness is only a short period of time. How long you stay in the wilderness is up to you. It was not God's plan for Israel to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. But when they came back from spying out the land, they complained about what they saw, and the complainers won. The complainers were the majority. Well, they all died in the wilderness. They didn't get to go into the land that was flowing with milk and honey. They could have sped up the process of being in the wilderness had they just believed God. And they saw the miracles, they saw what he did, but seeing miracles doesn't produce faith. It's hearing the word and believing it with your heart. I don't know how I got on all that, but... So these things are to be added to our faith. Notice verse 9. But he that lacks these things, sounds to me like someone who takes their talent and hides it in the sand and never does anything with it. What happened to the one guy who hid his talent? He lost it. See, Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. But if you try to keep your life and not lose it, you're going to end up losing it. Amen? So you might as well just let go right now. And he said, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. They have no vision, no revelation, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Then he tells us in verse 10 to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. How many don't want to fall? He gave it very clearly how we don't have to fall by simply adding these things to your faith. Where do you find these things? Where do you find knowledge and virtue and temperance? You have it right at your fingertips. All you got to do is look in the Word, read it, study it. Amen? Be in church, because that's where teaching goes forth. All right? Now let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And I want to reiterate the definition to activate. It means to set in motion, to create or to organize, similar to a military unit, to purify sewage by aeration. It's used in chemistry to accelerate a reaction, for example, by using heat. It's used in physics to make a substance radioactive. It means to set off, to turn on, to trigger, to start, to get going, to stimulate, or to initiate, or to motivate. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. I want you to see something here. Notice the first phrase, when he had called unto him, say unto him. Jesus is the word, isn't he? So before he empowered his disciples, he called them to him. All right? He's calling us to him. He said, all those who thirsty, he said, come to me. All those who are heavy laden with burden, he said, come to me and I'll give you rest. All those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, I will fill you. If you search for living water, he said, seek me and you will find me. There's something about us coming. It's our response to his invitation. How open are you? You know, every time we meet, God has an invitation. Will you come? Will you do? Will you be? But really, every time we gather, we're supposed to come to him. We're supposed to draw near to him. We're supposed to come. Jesus called his disciples unto him, his 12 disciples. And after he called them to him, he gave them power against unclean spirits to what? To cast them out. Well, if you want to activate the power to cast devils out, then first of all, you're going to have to recognize devils. You're going to have to recognize demonic activity. You're going to have to recognize when the devil is talking. Now, sometimes you may not know, but the Holy Spirit may reveal it to you. Like that time when that woman followed Paul, the Bible says that she walked with him several days, but something on the inside of Paul said, this isn't right. And finally, he turned around and he spoke to the spirit and he said, come out of her. And that spirit had to come out, and that woman was not able to tell fortunes anymore. But she went behind them saying, these are servants of the Most High God. They'll show you the way of salvation. Now, what she was saying was true, but the motivation behind her was false. But Paul had authority to confront demonic activity, to cast them out, right? When you encounter a devil, your purpose is to cast them out, and you have the power. And if you want to activate that power, you got to recognize when they're in operation. You got to be willing to confront, and you got to say, come out, or cast them out, or whatever requires at the moment. You notice Jesus never said a whole lot of words to devils. Come out, shut up, hold your peace, go. He never had lengthy conversations. He only asked the name of the one when he encountered at Gadara. But he called them to him and he gave them power. And he said, along with that, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Say, I have power to cast out devils and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Now, if you want to activate the healing power, lay hands on people. What did Mark 16 say? Believers shall lay hands on the sick and what? They shall recover. How do you do that? When you're with family, when you're with friends, if someone tells you about a sickness, just say, would you like me to pray? And if they say yes, then you have the power. Then when you take that action, you will activate the power. I want you to notice something. Jesus called them to him, then he gave them something. He gave them something to do. He gave them something to say. And it was up to them then to take what he gave them and to do it. You know, I can just imagine. The disciples were gathered, you know. They said, oh, there goes the demon. They just watch him go. No, they didn't. They dealt with it. And you know, when he sent out the 70 in Luke chapter 10 or 19, I forget what chapter, they came back and they said, even the devils are subject to us. But see, they received a message from the Lord that he said, I give you power to cast out devils, to heal all manner of sickness and disease. So now it was up to them. If they wanted to activate that power, they had to do what he told them to do. All right? Did they cast out devils? Yes. Did they heal sick? Yes. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also. Say, I can do the works that Jesus did. Did you know that if Jesus is the head of the church, and he is, and we are the body, then we're simply an extension of him? He gave us the ability to do things in his name. He said, in my name, do this. Pray to the Father, in my name, and I will grant your request that your joy might be full. So, when they did these things, they activated the power that was already there, that they already had, and they saw results. Okay? Go with me to Mark chapter 3. He says pretty much the same thing as Matthew. Look at verse 13 and 14. Actually, just verse 13. And he went up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. So in order for them to get the power, what did they have to do? They had to come to him. They simply responded to a call that he gave. And when they did, they received power to do the things that he wanted them to do. Here are some things that will help activate God's power. Obedience. Swift obedience. Doing what he said. Remember what Mary told the servants at the wedding? Just do whatever he says. Now, you're not going to tell someone that unless what he's about to say is going to not make sense to your natural mind. But he told them to fill the pots with water. But what did they need? They needed wine. But because they did what he said and they filled them with water, that action activated the power and it caused the power to change that water into wine. What if they didn't do what he said? Even though the power was there, it wouldn't have been activated. Very important. Your action. What if the Holy Ghost spoke to you right now and he was to say, get up and run around this building? Now, in your natural mind, you'd be thinking, no, I don't want to do that. But I'm just giving you an example. What if he told you to do it? You would not know what he wants to do by your action. He wants you to obey him no matter what. So you've got to be willing to step out and do what you didn't think you could do. If you want the results, if you want the power, that might be the very spark that starts the fire. You know, it only takes a spark. I like to watch Man versus Wild. You know, and he goes out on these excursions in the middle of nowhere and he has to build a fire, he has to make fire, and normally he just has a spark, or sometimes he has to rub a stick and some string together. But that friction causes a fire. Don't question why he's asking you to do it. Just do it. Take the action. When Moses came up to water in the wilderness, they hadn't had water for 3 days. And they came to a place called Marah. And the water was bitter. What did God tell them to do? Throw a tree into the water. God, what are you talking about? Throw a tree into the water. What's that going to do? Because you're doing what he said. That's what's the difference. Moses didn't think about it. He was told to do it. What happened when he did what he was told to do? Power went into that water and made it sweet. That simple action. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. That's an action. Did you know that? Faith is an action word. Sometimes your giving can be the action that you need to take. The widow of Zarephath. Give me your cake first, but it's my last one. Well, there's power there to create a miracle. But it was the woman had to give what was requested of her to activate the power. What if she didn't give it? Even though the power was there, she would not have activated it. Her and her son would have ate their last meal and died. But because she honored the man of God, she did what was requested of her, and what happened? Power came on her grain and oil, and it lasted throughout the drought. Every time she went to make a meal, there was enough there to make a meal. Supernatural. But it was her act of giving that activated the power that was there. What God wanted to do. God knew what he wanted to do. But guess what? He needs your cooperation. But I thought he's God. I thought he's sovereign. sovereign. Yeah, but he gave you a will, and he will never override your will. But he will give you an opportunity to choose. Isn't that what Joshua said? Choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You come at this house, you go to church. You stay at this house, you go to church. Gabriel's going to grow up with a drug problem. We drug him to church on Wednesday. We drug him to church on Sunday. We drug him to church on other days. That's right. It's a solution. So, a lot of times, you know, our love will activate the power of God. Sometimes love is expressed through compassion. You know what compassion would do to Jesus? It would move him to action. Oftentimes, he would have compassion on people, and through that compassion, through that love, he would begin to heal. He would show mercy. It was that compassion that activated the power of God. Boy, when you act on your compassion, compassion is not weak, it's strong. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I want to show you how faith operates. John chapter 3 and verse 31. What happens when you add oxygen and hydrogen together? Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. What do you get when you add those things together? Those vapors, when they're added together, become water. The substance is changed. Last week I gave the demonstration of a tea bag. When you put a tea bag inside a cup of hot water, make sure it's hot. Don't use cold water, it'll take forever. But we got to change anyway. When you add something inside the cup, it changes the substance. And you no longer call it water, you call it tea. Because something was added to it. Okay? John chapter 3, verse 31. My goodness. He says, he that comes from above is above all. The law of faith is above every other law. How many are familiar with gravity? Can you see gravity? Can you touch gravity? But it operates, doesn't it? It's a law. And the law abides no matter what. So now the law of faith is above sickness. The law of faith is above lack. The law of faith is above impossibility. You know, when you remove I am from impossible, things become possible. Think about that for a minute. When you remove I am, my thoughts, my way, I am, things become possible. You got to get the I am out of the way. Jesus said, he that comes from above is above all. He is speaking of himself. He's speaking of the word, which is the law of faith. It's above every other law. That means that by faith, you can create something out of nothing. How did God create the world? He said, in the face of darkness, he said, let there be light. He didn't talk about the darkness. The light wasn't there. It was dark. Sin shut the lights off. But he didn't look at the darkness. He said, let there be light. He changed the darkness into light by faith. He activated the power by faith. Okay. Verse, he said, he that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. Did you know that carnality will hinder your faith? Why? Because you cannot receive the things of God through natural means. You can't reason God. Sometimes you can't feel God. Faith is not a feeling. It's a decision. It's a decision to take God at His word and act on it, no matter how it looks to other people. All right? He said, "He that comes from heaven is above all." It's above cancer. It's above disease. It's above lack. It's above everything. Because faith can change things. When you add faith to something, it ceases to be what it was and it becomes something new. Did you know that when there's deadness on a scene, when faith comes on, it produces life? Lazarus come forth. He was dead for 4 days. But when the word spoke, he activated the power and he hopped out of that grave. He had to hop because he was all tied up. Look at verse 32. "And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies." The law of faith sees and hears and speaks. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have the same spirit of faith, and we believe and we speak. Do you see that? "What he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no man receives his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true." So you feed your faith by what you see and hear. The law of faith receives the true testimony. Did you know that faith receives? How many have a need in an area of their life? All right? What's going to make that need from out here to right here? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. I like what Mike said earlier. You gotta see things with the eye of faith. Faith sees the invisible. Elisha and his servant Gehazi. Gehazi walks out the door, sees all the soldiers surrounding them. He's like, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And Elisha prays, said, "Lord, open his eyes so that he could see." And he looks, he sees fiery chariots all around. And Elisha says, "They that be with us is more than be with them." Elisha saw something that Gehazi couldn't see. And he used faith to cause the power of God to open his eyes. The law of faith has God's seal on it. God is a God of faith. He operates by the faith that he wants us to operate by. All right? Verse 34. "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God." Faith speaks the words of God. What was the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the 10 other spies? They spoke what God said, but the 10 spoke what they perceived with their physical senses. But did you know that what Joshua and Caleb spoke was just as much a reality as the giants? Did you know that the spirit realm is more real than this physical realm? Why do I say that? Because things are created in the spirit first before they're made into the material. What brings things from the spiritual to the material when you act on God's word? You activate that power. You turn the switch on, and it causes things to happen. Jesus, the disciples were in a boat, and they're trying to make it. And they see a figure walking on the water. You talk about freaking out. They're in a boat, and someone's walking on the water. Jesus had boat shoes. And they look and they're like, "It's a ghost." They didn't know who it was. But Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. He gave Peter the power to act. And it was up to Peter to take what Jesus said and to do it. And Peter said, okay, I'm getting out of this boat. I'm walking on the water. He walked on the water. Anybody who was in that boat could have gotten out and walked on the water. But only Peter. One out of 12 will get up and walk on the water. The others will watch from the boat because the boat is more comfortable. But you can't walk on water. It's impossible. Not with faith, it's not. Faith doesn't know the meaning of impossible. I'm Abraham. I'm a father of many nations. But you don't have any kids. I'm a father of many nations. But Abraham, oh, that Abraham's cuckoo. He's going around saying he's a father of many nations. He doesn't have any kids. But you know what? He said it long enough where he brought it from the spiritual into the material, and Isaac was born. Isaac was born by the words that Abraham spoke. By the words that Abraham spoke, God gave him power and Sarah power to come together and to conceive a child when it was impossible. Now, it may take you some time, but that's okay. Don't quit saying the word. Don't give up. The law of faith is loved by the Father. 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. How many things are in his hand? All things. What are we going to do to pay our taxes? Go fishing. Jesus and Peter came to the temple. They didn't have the treasurer with them. And Peter's like, what are we going to do? We got to pay our tax. Okay, Peter, the first fish that you, I want you to go throw in your pole, the first fish that you catch is going to have two coins in its mouth. But you know what? Peter went and did it. When he acted on the word, power was activated, and that fish got attracted to that hook. Okay, Peter, I want to use your boat to preach a sermon. Sure. Go ahead, Jesus. Preach away. Jesus uses Peter's boat. He preaches a sermon. Now he said, okay, Peter, let down your nets. Oh, master, but I toiled all night. I worked the midnight shift. I'm tired. I'm worn out. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net. And there weren't fish there all night. But when he acted on the word, all of a sudden, he caught the greatest catch of fish that he probably ever caught. Almost sank two boats. He had to go get his, he had to call his partners to help haul him in. Where'd that power come from? The power was already there, but he acted on the word, and he activated the power. That caused that power to manifest into the realm of the real, of the physical. You want to change your situation? Change what you do and change what you say. Oh. Man, I got so much stuff. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Oh, and the law of faith is activated by acting on a belief. That works negative and positive. Romans 12:3. Whew. Romans 12:3. He says this, for I say, through the grace given unto me, I want you to think of grace as God's power. All right? So let's say it this way. Through God's power given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God gave every man what? A measure of faith, the measure of faith. Now let me ask you a question. What are you doing with your measure? What are you doing with your measure? Your measure can be more or less based on you, based on what you do. So he gave to every man the persuasion, the moral conviction, the truth of God, the reliance upon Christ, the assurance, the belief. He gave to every man the measure of faith. All right? Go to Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to close. Now, this faith that he's talking about, that he's given every man a measure, that's faith to carry out a task for God. Noah, I want you to build a boat because it's going to rain. I've never heard of rain. I want you to build a boat. I'm going to give you the dimensions. Do you notice God never asked Noah, hey, Noah, have you ever built a boat before? He never asked that. He said, Noah, are you a sailor? He never asked that. He said, I want you to build a boat. Okay? That took Noah 100 years. And the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. And Noah had 7 converts. His wife, his 3 sons, and his 3 daughters-in-law. Think about that for a minute. He built that boat 100 years. That boat was bigger than a couple football fields. We know that no one else probably helped him because they mocked him. I'm sure that no one helped him because no one came to get in the boat. So I'm sure that no one helped him. That's faith. Where did he get that faith? He obeyed what God said. He had power to build the boat. He had power to gather the materials. He had power to let the animals. He had power to... He spent a year on that boat before the waters receded. How'd you like to feed all those animals? Think about it for a minute. All the animals that couldn't swim had to eat. Did any animal on Noah's boat go hungry? Nope. Did Noah go hungry? Nope. Why? Because through his action, he activated the power of God for provision. All right, Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to finish for tonight. Thank God, I'm so thankful that I'm into doing series. You know, before... I thought, oh, I'd never do series, but now I love them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, let's go back up to verse 10. Well, verse 9. We'll start at verse 9. He said, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. You know, God wants you to know his will. Why? So that you can act on it. Why else would you want someone to know something if you didn't want them to do something with it? So he wants you to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. In other words, that you might carry out everything he asks you to do. Unto all pleasing. And did you know that we're supposed to walk by what? Faith. And not by sight. And he says without faith it's impossible to please God. So we're supposed to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work. How are you going to be fruitful if you don't obey the word? John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done. Fruitfulness. In every good work. Faith without works is what? Oh, so we're supposed to be doing good works. How are we supposed to be doing them? Motivated by love, doing them by faith. And increasing in the knowledge of God. What happens when we increase in the knowledge of God? We become more like Jesus. Our faith is able to do greater things. We become greater partakers of his divine nature. Strengthened with all might. Is might power? Yeah. What? How much might? All might. Might for you to do anything that you need to do. Those who wait upon the Lord, they're going to renew their what? Strength. So if you're feeling weak, just wait a minute. Your weakness will pass. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Woo! See, you don't do this according to your power, according to his glorious power. Unto all patience and long suffering and joyfulness. Aren't those things that we're supposed to add to our faith to make it operate better? Giving thanks unto the Father, because have faith in God, the Father, which has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, when Paul was attacked by a demon, that demon was assigned to Paul to buffet him. That word buffet means to beat repeatedly. Everywhere that Paul held a meeting, do you know that there was a demon spirit that would stir people up against Paul and beat him up? He was beaten with rods 5 times, he was whipped 3 times, and he was stoned to death. And, you know, Paul got a little tired of that, and he said, Father, why don't you take this away from me? And God said, my grace is sufficient. What do you mean, Paul? I'll give you power to face anything. They stoned him for dead, and the disciples gathered around him and prayed, and he went right back into the city that stoned him. That's some power. Oh, but that was a great apostle. No, Paul just did what he did by faith. Once he got the revelation on the road to Damascus, changed his name from Saul to Paul, he was empowered to do the works that God had for him to do. And his faith activated that power. So what are you doing with your measure? Are you adding to your measure? Or are you taking away from your measure? Is your measure increasing? 2 Thessalonians 1:3 talks about how our faith grows exceedingly. The disciples in Luke 17:5 says, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, what happens when you plant a mustard seed? It grows. That means you got to water your faith. You got to exercise your faith. You got to eat faith food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you have the power to change your situation by faith, childlike faith. John the Baptist had faith to restore people, to restore fathers and sons and fathers. God gave him the power in the womb. And he came out and he was bold. He didn't care. He talked to the king. You can't have your brother's wife. That's wrong. We need some people that are willing to say what's wrong. Amen? So, do you want to activate God's power? You can. It's up to you. It's not up to God. It's up to you. It's what you do with what he's given you. When you do something with what he's given you, his power will be there to meet you. We walk by faith. You know, all God wants you to do is take a step. When you take a step, he'll meet you. Amen? So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that we would have a revelation to transform our lives. And, Father, no longer will we be in agreement with defeat. No longer, Father, will we accept the status quo. But, Father, we're going to come up higher. We're going to say who we are in Christ. We're going to declare what we've been given. And we're going to do something with what we have. And Father, we're going to see the power of God manifest. So, an opportunity is if you're able, come out on Saturday, 4 o'clock, and let's